Ready in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Oh my God, I think I only have a handful of tickets in Madison, Wisconsin. Trot out by my lipstick, and I've got some new things coming up in my lipstick world very shortly, but I'm so pumped. ChristinaPOnline.com for tickets.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Will you bring up that sheet you just had up, my love? I'm so fucking pumped, you guys. I've wanted to have this person on my podcast. You notice I didn't gender you. I don't gender people. For so long. Please welcome Sierra Swan. Oh, my God!
My goodness. Hello.
You know, I love so you. Stoked. You're a musician. Mm-hmm. You're a mother. Mm-hmm. You and I went to the same high school as each other.
That's kind of incredible. I get to say that to people, actually. I'm like, yeah, we went to high school together. Yeah. They're like, oh, my God. And actually, there have been several occasions where someone just will say, oh, you need to listen to this podcast. And it's you. And I'm like,
oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I went to high school with her. And it's just... It's full circle. It's surreal. Fucking crazy.
And now you're, you've been a successful musician for a long, long time.
Just haven't given up, really. Yeah. I mean, literally, that's really all it comes down to.
Just don't give up.
Don't give up.
You've worked with Billy Corgan mm-hmm. of the Smashing Pumpkins yeah, forever.
I dearly love him. I consider him a family member. I really do.
How does that happen? How does one make music with the Smashing Pumpkins guy? Like,
well, it's so funny because when you think, because of our generation, he was kind of like one of the, like on the Mount Rushmore of rock stars, he's the face of that. You know, it's Kurt Cobain, it's him, it's Courtney Love, it's all those folks. Anyway,
Jesus.
I was a fan. I was a fan of the whole energy that was happening back then. But anyway, as far as him coming into my life in a very specific way, that was actually through Courtney Love.
What?
Yes, it was through her. I knew her, and she was working on an album, and I was there at the studio just kind of hanging out. And
And
I just remember hearing her say, can Billy come over? And I didn't know who she was talking about. And then next thing I know, he kind of walked in and was like, oh, yeah, that guy. But and at the time, I had just released an album called Ladyland. So I gave it to him, not thinking I would ever get a phone call or he would give a shit about it, because whatever. And he called me and I was like, oh, hello. And from that, you know, unfolded an incredible friendship. We did kind of have like a minute of dating.
Okay.
Because sometimes you get confused about what the relationships are.
Can I just ask you something really quickly about that? Because someone asked me to make a TikTok about Taylor Swift and what's this guy's name?
Travis Kelce.
And I was like, what is, I'm friends with like maybe two mega famous people, I would say. So I kind of a little bit understand what that's like.
Right.
Not really, but
right.
How do you date somebody who's like the voice of a generation?
You don't think about it that way. I mean, I guess I was in a state, I was like 25 years old. So I was kind of like, I wasn't really paying attention to like anything that was going on. I was just like minute to minute.
Yeah. And you're so hot and thin, you're just like, God. Oh my God, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Think about the shit that used to come out of my mouth.
Sure.
I'm
into your pussy.
Oh,
stuff
God.
That went into your pussy too. What a great time. Just like whatever.
And you wake up and you don't even shame yourself. You're just like, I'm gonna go to Henry's Tacos, get a taco, get over this, and I don't know, maybe I'll meet someone next week. Who cares?
So it was a great time. So you're dating Billy Corgan, and you're just like, you don't think of him as who everyone else. Yeah, I think that's the secret to being
with
celebrities.
Well, and also people, all the glitter kind of comes off when you really get to know them.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Billy Corgan takes Billy Corgan sized shits.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And, yeah. And he ejaculates like everybody else, and he has acne, and yeah,
and he's
smells.
Normal. Well, actually, and he doesn't have acne. He doesn't. He's got great skin. Anyway, so long story short, that obviously did not work out. He's now married. I love his wife, Chloe. She's fantastic. But before actually he met Chloe, we did just become friends. And we realized, like I think a lot of people do in relationships, oh, we're not supposed to be together. We're supposed to like be best friends and like help each other through this creative work tunnel of hell, you know? Yeah. And that's exactly what we did. And he produced one of my records, Good Soldier, which was just the sweetest thing ever because he's not really one of those people that does that. And then he asked me to play bass on a tour.
What?
And I did that. That was
I'm
very
getting
challenging.
The chills because I remember you posting that.
Yeah, a while ago. Yes, and probably 6 years ago.
On Instagram. And yeah. I think I had just had my second kid around there. And I was like, oh my God, it's a beacon of hope. Like, because you have children and you take a lot of care of your children. Yeah. Like, you're really involved as your sister is too. That's why I've always loved you and your family is because you guys really care about your children, but you're still these creative women.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, she's getting to tour? That's fucking crazy. Okay, maybe I can, like, still be a female comic. Or just, why do I even say that like that? I don't gender myself. I wish I could be a comedian, you know, because once you become a mother, it's like, That takes up so much psychic energy and space.
You have to literally like become a little bit of a superhero because you really don't want to care about anything at that point because you're so fucking tired. But it's like, it's one of those things where like, I was also very aware because I've been doing this so long that time is just passing me by.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, the first probably 8 years of my firstborn's life, and I had my daughter when he was four, so whatever, just the first 8 years when like you get there's a baby and there's a four-year-old, so much is going on, I would just like, I mean, I literally missed, you miss actually like a whole decade of like, I even missed like what was going on in music, what was going on in popular culture, no clue. I literally feel like I birthed myself once my kid was eight and was able to be a little bit more functional.
100%. Tom makes fun of me because he's like, oh, you didn't hear about the war that broke out?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It's,
yeah, because
I'm taking
you're
care
just...
of kids.
Mm-hmm. And how old are yours?
Well, so now I'm out of the lost years. I'm now at 5 and 7.
Okay.
And I think 0 to 4 is just...
It's
chaos. It's triage.
It's painful. I don't even remember it because I like literally wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm just like, if I'm here, I might drink myself to death.
Yeah.
And
I know.
So I'm going to pretend I'm not here and I'll feed them and I'll bathe them and I'll do all the things. Like, it's very like this until, you know, they can like do some shit on their own. You know, my son just finally I'm like, you got to learn how to make a sandwich because every time you're fucking hungry, I can't do that. Like, I can't.
How old is he?
13. So he's hungry all the time.
Yeah, they're growing.
There's so much going on. And you have two boys, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. 13. Woo. There's a reason why that's a film.
Yeah.
Because it's very revealing. And it's also heartbreaking as mom because you see them becoming whoever they're going to become. Also not understanding...
Much. I'm getting anxiety just
it's intense.
Listening.
It's sweet, but it's intense. And there's something very important that I finally allowed myself to do this year of him being 13. Because now he's just like gone. He's like with his friends.
That's what I dread the most.
And it's like he'll straight up, you know, I'll send him a text. Where are you? And like, if he doesn't get back to me in an hour, I'm like, I'm in Dateline world.
Of course.
I am in full on Dateline world, which I actually had to stop watching. Sorry, Dateline. Because... Yeah. And then I have a daughter, so now I really can't watch it because
you got to put those GPS trackers. I just ordered them.
On their phones?
Even better. It's a physical tracker, and you put it like in the collar of their shoe. You're supposed to use it for inanimate objects, but I'm gonna put them. Look, because I take my kids to like these play places, and I'm gonna put that shit that geo tracker.
This could actually save my sanity because I
just put it in his. He won't even fucking know it, dude.
Oh, I like this.
Sew it into his. Into like a pocket of his jacket or some shit, he won't even know.
This,
and you're tracking this
actually sounds fun too.
Yeah.
Sounds like, I'm like, well, if I put it in theirs, I could put it in so many other people's.
Well, yeah, that's the point. That's why it clearly says on the thing, it's like not to be used for human tracking.
You're like, okay. Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So nice try. So hold on. Let's plug your new EP, System Breaker.
This is my old one. Okay. This is like the one I produced in my basement during COVID.
Because, I love this.
And this is my basement. This is the picture of my basement. This is where I create. It looks like a Spanish. It looks like a Mex. It looks like Casa Vega.
I think, oh, that's where I first used to get drunk.
I know, right? And remember when you used to be able to smoke in there?
Oh, even better.
Oh,
good times. You and I are like a couple of old witches now. We're like, remember when you could smoke indoors? That was great. I was 18 drinking Long Islands.
I was like 14. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah.
This is the new one. This one's the new System Breaker.
Yes, that is the new one. I did
a
couple years ago. And the producer is a man named St. Charles, who's a legendary guy. I contractually actually cannot say who he actually is.
Nice.
Just puts a little mystery into
it. Does it rhyme with Millie Dorgan?
No.
But we won't say that.
No, but no, he didn't.
Okay.
But he, Billy, did gracefully, and today, right this second, and whenever this airs, it will be available on their website, which is madamzuzus.com. He has his own tea house, which is so cool. It's a really cool place in Chicago in Highland Park. And he sells his vinyls there, all the Smashing Pumpkins stuff, obviously. And new artists such as myself.
So can I tell you why I love that you do this? And you guys, show them again this of your basement during COVID.
Oh, yes.
This is what I love about you and what I love, why it's so inspiring, because you're a mother of two children. Mm-hmm. You're a stay-at-home mom for all intents and purposes, right?
I am. Well, I mean, Christina, I do have something kind of incredible to tell you.
What?
Of a job that I had while I was in Minneapolis.
What?
Okay, menopause. Words just go away.
Yeah. I think that's mama.
A funeral home. I worked at a funeral home for a year, just answering phones and also like cleaning up and making sure. I did have to check the bodies to make sure they weren't leaking when they came in. I know.
Leaking.
This, yeah.
Don't they all leak?
Well, if there's not making sure there's not a major leak.
Yeah. I'm gonna fucking puke. Leak out of where? Your ears, your eyes, kind of your everywhere. Mouth, your ass, blood.
Wherever they know, like the. Formaldehyde, right? Yeah, I guess. Anyway, so I did work there for a year
answering phones,
but it was more of like a science, not a science experiment. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It was more of a like, I just want to do something really odd. And I did.
Dude, I've had almost every day job imaginable. Yeah. That's probably the one industry I never got into.
I
fucking should have, because I'm goth as, fuck.
I know.
I would have liked it maybe.
I mean, I quit. Basically almost got fired because I wasn't as put together as they would have liked me to be.
Sure.
They wanted my hair to be a little nicer. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. And so that didn't work out. But so I quit before I could get fired. But yeah, so I did that for a year.
But that's a good thing to do. It reminds you of your mortality, and I imagine makes you very grateful every day you get to go home to your crazy kids. But what I like about you is that, guys, this is a mother who is in motherhood and manages to put out records. Okay. And here's why. But here's what's great about this time we live in is this thing.
Yeah.
This little thing it's a video camera. It's an editing machine. You can make music on this. You can make videos. You can become world famous.
There's no
from your fucking toilet now.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuses.
I know. There really is no excuses. And I've had so many awkward conversations with like friends of mine that are of our generation, Generation X, who are just like, it freaks them out. This whole thing freaks them out because
freaks them out?
The idea that it's in your hands.
It's a lot of power.
Because we grew up going like, you gotta audition, or you gotta like hustle this way or hustle that way.
Yeah, a gatekeeper has to choose you.
You have to like, exactly.
You have to be chosen.
And so I think that's been a hard thing for our generation to let go of.
So
because
true.
We're like, well, if this, they don't approve, then I'm not worthy of this. I'm like,
fuck what
people think. You can do it yourself. You don't have to think that way.
You just blew my mind. Yeah, especially as a comedian, because back in the day it was you went on Johnny Carson's program.
Right?
And I'm talking this
I
is in the 80s.
So well.
Yeah, and if Johnny as a stand-up, if Johnny didn't wave you over and set you down on the couch.
Well, that wasn't a good sign.
You bombed. Like that was it. Your career wasn't gonna take
Can
off.
Can you imagine that, like for a comedian, when they went, like when they left,
oh my
to
God.
Go back
I
to their house.
I put a gun in my fucking mouth.
Like I can't imagine that kind of pressure and that kind of heartbreak.
I'd die.
Huge level.
I'd die.
I know.
Because now Oh, yeah, and that was back. But then in my day, it was, oh, Comedy Central doesn't like you, which they never did, by the way. They never fucking took me for
really?
Not one fucking thing.
Who's in charge over there?
I'm not going to say that. All right. The point is, a lot of these places didn't know what they weren't into me, whatever. And it's like back then you could kind of go, okay, well, they're not into me. Maybe there's one other guy in town that I could hit up.
I literally lived your experience as a musician.
Really?
That was my experience with record labels. Now, granted, I got signed, but it wasn't backed by any kind of money. It was like one passionate person was like, we got to sign this girl. She's great. But they're not in charge.
Right.
It's the guy behind the guy who goes, fine, sign it, but guess what? In his head, he's like, I'm not putting any money towards this.
But that's everything.
Which means that it will fail. So it was also kind of, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, but I think this is exactly what you mean. If, you know, it was just like, if it left a bad taste in their mouth in a certain kind of way, you were done.
You cooked.
And it was fucking
You're just
harsh.
Done.
It was harsh.
Yeah.
And you felt it. Hard.
So true. Like if I would get turned down from major comedy festivals and then you're like, that's it. There's my career. I'm done. I'm never going to get in front of the industry. I'm never going to get a sitcom deal. That was the big thing you wanted back then. God knows why. It's a fucking disaster.
Yeah, what
a garbage fire is doing a sitcom. But anyway, then came podcasting and the internet and
Thank God.
All of a sudden the gatekeepers are gone.
Yeah, they can't stop.
They can't stop me now.
Yeah, no.
So finally I can just be myself, this weirdo who, you know, I wasn't.
That people actually want to see.
Of course, nobody wants to see just one type of person.
No.
Then again, Taylor Swift is so popular.
I have so many theories. I have so many theories.
Yeah,
and
let's
I
talk
feel
about
like
this.
I'm going to get in trouble because her fans scare the shit out of me. Like I'm not afraid of anything, but they freak me out.
But what is it? Why? Let's talk about it.
I think I mentioned this to somebody, and I'm going to get.
It's okay. No, who's going to cancel you? They're going to cancel you from your basement. Don't worry.
Yeah,
about.
No, exactly. I'll still be releasing albums from my basement, whether
matter.
You like me or not.
Yeah.
It was more like, okay, this is how I see it. It could be wrong, but this is how I see it. I feel like it makes people feel like they can do it too.
Because why? Because she's such like a guitar.
I wouldn't call her a guitarist. I mean, I would say she's a pop star. You know what I mean? She's a pop star. I'm not discrediting her songwriting abilities. Clearly, she's doing well.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I say that? That would be fucking weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So clearly she's doing well. Now, as far as how big it's gotten, I think the main message has been like, you want to do this? You can do it too. I think it just makes people feel who might be so-so that they could do it.
So you're saying what it does is fulfill the mediocrity fantasy on all of us that we could be chosen or picked. Because the truth of it is that to become a Taylor Swift, I mean, she started very early in life, right?
Yeah. And I mean, to me, it's so crazy that because I'm 45, so it's like, when I think about it, it's almost like she's like people consider her like her career is like halfway or almost, you know, how old is she? 30 something, right? At this
33
point.
33 or 34.
33 or something like
Super
that.
Super little baby puppy.
Yeah. Yeah. So but people are like, God, she's been around forever. I'm like, no, she hasn't.
It's been 13
Will you
years
stop it? Like, are you kidding me right now?
Madonna has been around four
she's
decades.
Been around forever. Okay. Yeah. If we want to use the word forever, let's get real with it. Like that woman
few
has
decades.
Been around.
And the tour looks great, by the way. I just bought tickets to see
her you did?
In Austin in April. I'm pumped because she looks, she's doing it.
She cracks me up.
But what's interesting about Taylor Swift? So you think it's the appealing to like anybody can be her. I think it's something interesting in that her themes and her persona, she's very young.
Yeah.
She's extremely adolescent.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely got a. She's you know the human sun. You know, she's a very happy, sunny.
Right. That's very adolescent.
Kind of, yeah.
And also too, the lyrics.
I mean, hey, listen, I'll sign up for like a goth Taylor Swift.
Are you kidding me?
When this relationship goes to shit, I can't
wait.
Susie
Sue.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to listen to that record. A darker
But that's
a darker
our generation is that we like the darkness. Our It's true.
It's so true.
Because I think in this time, so the downside to the technology and everything is that you come up in the era of YouTube, mm-hmm. where you're becoming an artist under the scrutiny of mm-hmm. comments. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine putting out?
Oh God, no.
Yeah, you're in this infancy in your artistry, and people are shitting on you. So that's why mediocre music becomes like
kind of
amazing, because you're like, oh my God, she's actually saying something. How brave! And you're like, kind of
that. That's bingo right there.
Maybe that's what it. Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
She's saying
that's perfectly. Perfectly
okay,
put
thank
right
you.
There.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Let me pat myself.
That was good.
Good job, Christina. You did your job. But also too, what's interesting too is she's 34, right? She's this unmarried, no kids, and every song is like victim. You hurt me, and this is why we're not friends anymore. And you're like, what is this shit? What are you, 15 fucking years old? Get old. By the time I'm 34, I'm married, I'm touring the world. Like,
right.
What
right.
do you do? Get into therapy, bitch.
Yeah,
figure
yeah, yeah,
it. So,
yeah.
So to me, that's a little off.
Yeah.
Where you're like, really? You're
well,
still
I feel
in
like
this
maybe
shit?
She hasn't actually made the record that is as honest as maybe as people think the last one was, which I know nothing about. Sorry. I
let's
mean,
look
I've
up,
heard
let's
her
look
music.
Up the last album, because I'm curious.
I've heard her music, but I haven't heard an album.
I've listened to it. I listened to it because Chase O'Donnell, my opener, is a huge Swiftie. Yes, I've listened to this entire album.
Okay.
Hey, it's not... Now we got Bad Blood.
You know what?
I know it. Shake It Off. That's a jam.
That's
hey,
it. That's
hey, Shake
hit.
It Off is good.
Here's my thing.
I like that
is
number.
I need my music
blank space.
To...
Good.
Yes.
I like all it. Hold on. Now I'm fucking like singing. I'm humming all this stuff in my head. And I'm like, it's not that bad. But it is adolescent. And
yeah.
It's,
yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, granted, you know, of course I'm going to have an issue with it. I'm 45 years old. We have nothing in common.
No business.
We have nothing in common. We have zero in common. And also, like, you know, granted, yeah, I like my music dark, but I need to dance to it, okay? So there's got a lot of elements need to be happening here. I like my dark music, but it has to have a beat, and I can go on a dance floor with it. You know,
so that's why people our age need to listen to System Breaker, because then they'll be, it's a vibe.
I literally
match.
Made it for us.
I love that.
It is. And actually, I have decided that, like, kind of if I want to describe myself, I'm trying to make music for Generation X, which I have felt has been like a little bit drowning, you know, currently just a bit not present in the culture. So I make music for that. And just like, who doesn't want a 45 menopausal, you know, rock star?
Everyone does.
So I want to do that for
I think you're doing
everyone.
It. I think you're doing it. Look, it's you and Madonna at this point.
So I didn't want to leave her by herself. So I thought, you know what? I'm gonna join in this game. This menopause.
I think
menopausal.
You should. I think you should. You and Madonna and Bjork, but she never shows her face no more. She always covers it with the. What's that all about? What happened there?
I don't know. I would love to ask her.
What do you think? I think you know what I think is maybe she had some weird work done. And
you
she's
think?
Like covering.
That's
what
possible.
Like,
yeah, with the diamonds. Now. Are you saying the new with the diamonds?
Bring
like...
it up. What? Google Bjork's face. Bjork, because she's never showing her face, and she had a boob job during.
Shut up.
COVID. Yeah.
Oh,
she's got
my
great
God,
tits.
God, are you
See?
Serious?
Oh yeah, she, her tits.
How
look
do you
fantastic.
Know that?
Sources.
Holy fucking
I swear, I'm the
Wait,
gay man. It, no, my,
like
it's my
weird...
gay best friend.
Okay, I'm not saying I would never do it, but I'm like I wouldn't have thought that.
Why don't you do it? You can do it. Do whatever the fuck you want. Get your tits lifted. Get them lifted. Get them lifted. There she is. She's always covering the face.
Yeah, you can't see her.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
She
says, I'm so artistic. I can't show my face.
So
I'm just
good.
So bizarre. You're like, bitch, you're not that weird. You remember when she was like, I walk around New York City and I buy a bag of chips. And I get crazy
she always
along with it.
Looked
like,
8 years old to me, too. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah, what's going
like,
on?
Like, no matter how old she was, I was like, she's eight.
Yeah, she keeps her hair short. Maybe that. I
yeah,
don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. So anyway, you come from a musical family too. No.
Yeah.
Like your
yeah.
father is a musician.
He is, and he still is. The man is. God, what is he? He's 80 something now. It's not that I don't know. I can't think that quickly. 83. I think he's like around 80. Born in 1942. Okay. Anyway. He still makes it. He sends me stuff every day. What do you think about this lyric? What do you think about this song? I think it's the best thing I've ever done. Like, and I'm like, oh, I'm always supportive, but I'm like, maybe.
Is he country music?
You know, he's a part of that generation in country music where it kind of wasn't country. He was with Chris. He was like the Kris Kristofferson era. So he was in Chris's band. his history is pretty awesome. He lived with Chris in Nashville when they were like, you know, in their 20s. And when Chris was coming up, and he, God, they must have been, I don't know, super young. Point is, my dad's been with Chris. He started with Chris, was his bass player at first, and then he was his guitar player. Like, so as a kid, I was always on the road. I would go on the road, me and my sister, with Chris and everybody. So that music, though, to me is like, it's country-esque, but there is a little bit more of something else going on, because it's like more Bob Dylan-y poetry, has more poetry in it. You know, new country drives me a little mad, but... so yeah, that generation. Chris lived with Shel Silverstein. Like,
what?
I have a tattoo here of an original Shel Silverstein drawing that he gave to my dad when he released Where the Sidewalk Ends. He drew in it to my sister and I to Planet and Sierra, and did this beautiful drawing of our two roses. So I have it right here. Cause
stop.
Yeah. And so this incredibly creative, all these creative people were in Nashville doing all this stuff, because not a lot of people know this, but Shel Silverstein was a musician
before that.
He was an author. Yeah. Which is kind of crazy, right?
So I read Shel Silverstein books to my sons because the level of wit and creativity in his words, and you're like, how did this, what LSD was this
and
guy
he
on?
Looks like such, he's such an impressive looking man, like he's just gigantic, but he's so, his stuff is so soft and sweet. I mean there's no other books like those. My husband and I gave one to my daughter because she's 8, and we're like, you need to start reading stuff like this.
You need to start
reading. You need to start reading in general. But
yeah, for sure. No. But A Light in the Attic and Where the Sidewalk Ends are probably, I've started reading those to my kids when they were like 4, and it's so imaginative, and little Cynthia Stout who would not take the garbage out. I mean, like,
and those drawings, the cute little drawings, they're so sweet. And I used to love when I was a kid reading them out loud, because it was like just fun to, like,
well, the words
say.
Were so lovely. Yeah, the alliterations and the bounciness of the language and the themes. And
it never goes out of style, ever. It's just like the most perfect. It's just perfect, everything about it.
And here's what I'm so envious of, almost, of you and your sister, and like, is that you came up in this creative household. And my house was like a communist lockdown gulag. No creativity, no smiles, no joy.
Some of my favorite moments in your in your podcast when you talk about your childhood, because
it's so dark.
It sounds so. I literally get a mental image. I get a mental image. There's definitely carpet in that image.
Oh my god. Sierra, carpet and naked lady wallpaper from the 70s. My father would leave it, and burgundy dark carpet in the valley, in San Fernando Valley. And then wooden paneling.
I can smell it. I can literally smell it.
Same.
I know that smell.
It's so traumatic.
I know.
The darkness. Yeah, both my parents.
Did you say once that your dad would take you to bars?
Yeah, I grew up in bars and nightclubs. I grew up going to the Beef and Barrel in Canoga Park.
Oh,
that was one of his favorites. Because his friend Polly was a DJ on Friday and Thursday nights. And Polly would play like Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Like songs about gay fucking.
Right.
Which now you're like, dude, these guys are about coming. It's a song about not coming and being a gay guy. It's wildly inappropriate. And I would dance with sailors. I literally would dance with on a school night to that song, Moni Moni. And they would sing in between, here she come now, sing Monet Monet. And the sailors would go, hey, motherfucker, get laid, get fucked. And here I am in third grade, and I'm like chanting, hey, motherfucker, get laid, get fucked.
And your dad was like, yeah, fuck yeah, hell yeah. That is incredible.
Insanity. But to your thing, it's like, I want that for my children to grow up in a house of weird and like, bro, you can paint the walls whatever color you want. Not you. Like, we can hire a painter.
Yeah. I mean, because I want it to look good at least.
Yeah, like growing up in these like white walled rentals, like just things like that. It must have been nice to grow up.
It was
in a creative environment where you're not made to feel alien if you did have a weird thought.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, I can't say I got very lucky. I can't say there was one time where I felt like, you know, I don't know, like I shouldn't do this. It was always very, it was almost like expected to be creative. There wasn't a ton of pressure to like be great at school. I mean, I was decent, but it wasn't like, that wasn't the thing, or you need to go to college. literally now. It was more like,
especially now,
it was more like, oh, did you write a song? Let me hear it. And let me tell you, it was a little brutal. Like, I'd play a song on the piano and then it'd be like,
oh yeah.
And I'd be like, huh, okay. And I was like, there was no praising either. There was very much like, oh, you should try a little harder. That could be better. That verse could be a little better. Like, yeah, it was like, that was the schooling. My dad still does it. I'll show him a song and he'll still be like, I think you should change that lyric. And I'm like, ugh, it's already done, Dad. It's on fucking Spotify. Vinyl. Like, yeah. It's over. I did a song called Sex is Keeping Us Together that I knew
it's a great title.
I knew it would bum him out. And he goes, literally already out. The record's done. It's over. Like, it's been mastered. It's sealed. Yeah. Done. He goes, you need to change it. I said, why? He goes, it should be Love is Keeping Us Together. Oh, I go, shut up, Dad. Just shut up.
No one believes in love.
Yeah, come on. And let's be honest. Sex is keeping us together. Not with my dad and I.
With your dad.
That would be really fucked up.
That is so crazy. So, yeah, I guess maybe it's not. I mean, look, my parents were fully disappointed in me. So I'm not sure if it's better to have some withheld. I don't know what's harsher.
I don't
honestly.
Either. I think just living your life authentically is all your kids want to see. I remember having this discussion with a friend of mine of going, you know, like, I don't want to be that mom that needs to get him in this thing. Try it. Like, I did that with my daughter the first couple of years. Like, you sign him up for gymnastics. You sign him up for this. And then, like, you waste all this money. And, like, 2 weeks later, she's like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, and honestly, I was like, fine, I'm pulling you out. I'm not going to fucking make my kid do something. Because honestly, it's kind of how I grew up. My mom was a little bit like that. Like, very much like, you're doing this. Like, as far as, like, she was really obsessed with dance. She was a professional ballroom dancer, so she wanted me to get into dance, and I would hate it, and she would make me stay in it, and I'm just like, well, you know, it was just the worst experience.
What is
the point? So I won't do that with my kids, like, especially when, I mean, my daughter's 8, she's gonna figure it. She's 9, I always tell her, like, when you figure it out, when you know what you want to do, even if it's just like not sure, just let me know and we'll try it out, but I'm not gonna throw you into shit.
Yeah, I think so too, because either the passion is there or it is not there.
Exactly. And you need to want to fucking finish anything.
It. Yeah. Because Ellis hated everything. And then now he's doing jujitsu and it's like, he found it. He's like,
that is so cool.
I'm a fucking killer. He's like, I'm a savage mom.
You're like, okay, sure. Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, you are. Trade by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
How old is he?
Do jujitsu, you fucking go, toxic masculinity.
How old is he?
He's going to beat the fuck out of your kids. 7.
Seven.
Yeah, so
great.
Like your daughter kind of.
Yeah.
He's gonna be 8 in December, and dog. You can't make him be anything. You can nurture what's you know.
Even when you want to do something, you don't do it because it's fucking exhausting. Like as you get older, if you want to be a musician, if you want to do, a lot of people, and I have a lot of friends in my life like this.
Yeah.
Where they're just too freaked out. They're too scared because it is.
Oh, to start later.
To start later.
You know what's interesting? I just had this conversation with a very good friend of mine. Who is like, I think I want to try doing ba ba ba. And I go, why not? You're only 40 something. Or even if you're 48, 50, like,
just do
so
it.
So what?
Who cares?
So there's still some time between now and dead.
Bottom line, if I see, you know, now I'm 45. When I think about when I was 30, I was like, I was still so young. I had all these thoughts in my head about, you know, aging, especially as a woman. You just have that anyway. And then you start having kids and then it gets even more intense. But, you know, what I learned just thinking 45 and how harsh I was on myself when I was 30, 35, I'm going to think that way when I'm 55, 60.
I know.
So I want to like almost be in, like, I pretend almost like I'm in a time capsule and I'm looking at myself going, just fucking do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Because when you look back at this age that you're at 65, you're going to be like, I was so young.
I was so young.
I was so old. And you're not. And you're always, I know. I try to keep that in mind. Yesterday I was like, when my kids leave me at 18, I will be 60 years old. And I went, 60. And here I am crying about being 47. And I'm like, I don't think I should cry about being 47 anymore.
Be stoked about it because this is it right here. This is what's happening. And, you know, also it's like the goal kind of for me, like at 60, I want to chill. Like I want to chill and I don't want to regret anything. I don't want to be like, I should have done that. I don't want to fucking have those thoughts at all. So I'm just going to go hard.
Do it now.
Go hard right now. And then, if I still want to go hard at 60, I will. But, or if I just want to, like, and hopefully there's enough money to do this, like buy a ranch and just,
cool.
I don't know, fucking make lemonade, then
you
can
do that in Texas. You can get a ranch here.
Yeah.
Have you been on a ranch?
Actually, I haven't.
Sarah, can I tell you something? I had a ranch fantasy too, and then
does it go away?
Let me tell you. So I visited a friend here in Austin that has a ranch,
right?
And they're smelly, and there's cows, and there's
it's not as cool as
cow caca, and there's caca everywhere.
It smells.
It's smelly, and it's dirty, and there's scorpions everywhere, and snakes everywhere.
Oh, then forget it.
I know, that's the thing, I had a ranch fantasy. Tom did too for a minute. He's
we'll just get a ranch.
Well, then you get the fucking ranch. You get the ranch. I'm going to stay in this house, this neat little house that's got walls.
The dream is basically just to not have to do anything.
That's the dream.
That's the dream. Just to not have to do anything. If I want to wake up and fucking make a stew, then that's what I do that day. I just want very minimalistic
I like this.
Things.
Can I too? So I like this because I too want to be there's this word called teleological, meaning having like
that's a very
purpose
intense word. Right. Say it
it's
again?
From philosophy. Teleological.
Teleological.
Meaning like cause and effect, everything kind of has an order. It goes in a order of succession and it makes sense and it has purpose and function.
Right.
And then there's the ateleological or the atelic, meaning against function, against cause and effect.
Right.
So there's this thing that people think that atelic activities are actually those which will provide the most joy. Everybody's looking for happiness. The truth is, it's in the atelic. It's in the sitting and not doing for the most part.
100%.
Yeah.
I go hard to do nothing. After I leave here, I'm going to sit in my hotel room and be a scumbag. Like straight scumbag. I will probably order some food. I will get wasted by myself.
Yeah. That's normal. You know what? It's funny because right before we opened up the mics, we were talking about how you're like, I'm on a work trip.
Yeah.
I'm on a work trip. And then you get on the plane and you're like, oh, it's like five vodkas on this plane. Because you're away from your kids.
You don't realize how stressed out you are until you're alone and people really don't need you.
Yeah.
Because when people need you, you kind of have to like I said before, like just not be there. Because you have to be available. But when people don't need you and can't get in touch with you, there is like I said before, the 25-year-old me is just ready to shine.
Yeah.
Ready to shine. And and ready to, I don't know, be just do whatever the fuck I want, which turns out to be I just want to drink and eat. That's all I want
to
do.
But can I tell you, you don't even get to, like last night I made dinner for the family and then I didn't even get to sit down and eat because it's like, Mama, I have a grilled cheese? And said, okay, well, no, but you're sick, so I'll make that for you right now. And then, can I have this? Can I have that? And then I realized, like, they're all done eating. Everyone's off. And now Mom is finally sitting down with her plate of slop.
Okay.
And I'm not even hungry anymore.
Literally, yes, that is also my life. And what I sometimes, like, look down at what's going on. I'm cooking. I love to cook. It's like my happy place. I zone out. It's great.
Yeah. Plus, you don't have to pay attention to the kids as much.
It's just great. I love
excuse,
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's why I love really detailed, like dishes, because I'm like, it's going to take a while to do this. So I need 2 hours.
Or like, you can help me if you want, Tom.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't. but then once all the food is out, we have a dining room table where we do the family dinners, which happens not as often as
nobody
maybe it should.
Uses that.
And then there's just the dinner that just needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because people need to fucking eat. And that table has 3 chairs because I'm not going to sit at it. It's a joke. I kind of have a slightly different diet than my kids. They eat everything. They're fucking children. They, you know, whatever they want, I just give it to them. My husband also just eats whatever he wants. I don't anymore just because I'm getting older. Like I realize like certain things don't.
You can't eat
they
a fucking
thing. They don't even make me feel
thing.
Good.
Yeah,
don't make me feel good.
Yeah, I know.
So I have like a whatever, specific diet. So by the time I cook their food and it's on the table, I'm starting my food. So there's no experience sitting with the family and kind of don't want to do it anyway.
I know, because it's like they're not eating anyway.
No.
And then, okay.
Well, they complain about the food that maybe I made. That's fun.
They just want to eat the same shit every day. It's grilled cheeses and spaghetti.
Yeah.
I was going to say this to you. Because I get that experience, I'm lucky in that. So let's back that ass up. When I first had kids, I was I had a lot of mom guilt around getting on a plane and going to do stand up for 2 days away from my children. I had such severe mom guilt. But here's the thing. My husband is home with them when I am not there.
Right.
So I know they're with their daddy. They're not being raised
by
nannies.
So that's always a good feeling.
Right. Because you know, like, okay, they're not, I'm not.
If anyone fucks up, it's the other parent and not some stranger you hired.
And I don't want strangers raising my kids. I've already made this a fucking thing. It's not happening for me.
Yeah.
Okay. But then like I got over that guilt and then I realized when I was coming back from these trips of 48 hours, 72 hours away, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so much happier.
Totally. Yeah.
And you're going to go home and you're going to be so happy that you drank and ate in your hotel room and slept unfettered.
Yeah. Oh, don't even. This morning was heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven.
You just slept in.
I did exactly what I wanted. I just had my phone and my finger and covers and a fucking show that I wasn't even watching was playing. And it was great.
It was great.
And it was pitch black.
I know. So, but this is something for the moms out there. It's like, so now I'm in this zone where I plan.
Mm-hmm.
Getaways with like other mom friends. You should come meet me in a city.
I always do that.
I tell my mom friends like, hey, look at my calendar.
Yeah.
Come to Denver. And I invite all the moms. And now I've got a group of like two or three women who will meet in a city.
Okay. This sounds really fun, actually.
Mom club.
I don't know why I need to speak in the microphone so close. But
I'm serious. So the invite is now to you, Sarah.
Oh my
come.
God, I'm going to be there.
Pick a city. My calendar is not full right now, but come and just stay in a hotel. And if you want to come out, come out.
Takes.
If you don't, you don't. And just 24 to 48 hours.
That's all you actually need. Yeah. It's crazy. Because then you start actually missing your kids, which is always a good feeling. Like, oh, I can't wait to see them.
Yes.
That feels great. That feels good. But if you don't fucking do that stuff, the mommy dearest kind of stuff starts to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the certain tones of your voice starts to begin. Like, I totally get why my mom was bummed. She was bummed all the time.
Was she?
I think mothers back in the 80s, you know, when you're not allowed to talk about menopause, when you're not allowed to talk about how fucking maybe you didn't want to have kids because you were expected to, a certain generation, especially my mother's generation, that's what you did. Whether you liked it or not, you're having a kid. So
yeah, there's
no
option.
And I'm not saying she didn't want it, but sometimes she acted like maybe she didn't really want to do this.
Sure.
And she was a creative person and that's why I fight for it so hard, because I saw what happened to her when she just kind of just couldn't do it anymore. Also, there was no vehicle to be a woman creative like there is now. Now, like we were talking about before, there's no excuses. Like, you can do it. You can do it now. You don't need anyone's approval. There's no gatekeeper. Back then there were. And I think she just kind of threw in the towel.
But she couldn't do it. So like the beauty of being creative as a mother now is like, mm-hmm. You can do it part-time.
You totally
can. You can do it whenever you feel
whenever
like you
can. Whenever you want.
But I think back in the day, and especially if you're at a very high level, like Taylor Swift or I don't know what female comic, like, and the career is everything.
Yeah. Well, like a Gwen Stefani. Like,
wow.
Yeah. That's like, you know.
That's crazy enough.
Sometimes
but
I just don't
joyful.
Even understand how she's doing it, but.
The nannies. I'll tell you how she's doing it.
Yeah.
She's not fucking, listen, for anybody. Do not compare yourself to the Gwen Stefani's, to the fucking Taylor. Oh, no, she's not a mother. Who's
no,
a mother?
Not.
Beyonce's. These women have nannies on nannies on nannies. The Kardashians, which I know for a fucking fact because I lived in the community that they did at one point. I'm telling you, I even met a few of the nannies when I was on the fucking playground with my kid. So it's a trade-off. It's always a trade-off.
It takes a lot of money to do it so easily. It's not easy.
But at what cost? It's like, it's also a lot of that, like, well, who's raising my kids, man?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, like a little bit of mental torture.
Why are you
torture.
Doing it then? Don't have kids if you're going to have just someone else. I don't know. That's my, I'm old school on it.
Well, and I mean, bottom line, just don't compare yourself to
those
particular types. Yeah.
Seriously, because you don't know what that bitch is dealing with. You don't know like what people are dealing with. And I know it's hard, especially with social media.
Yeah.
You see everybody's highlight reels. You see, like, you think everybody's life is amazing.
It's not. No, yeah.
Some don't people's are. I think some. Heidi Klum. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think she's miserable. She looks fucking miserable. And anybody that's posting those happy, happy photos of them and their spouse.
Oh,
like,
I never believe that. No.
Get fucked so hard.
Yeah, I never believe it.
Or they're like, it's just the happiest birthday to my sweetheart of 20 years. Like, shut the fuck up. Like you fucking hate him. I know you do.
Yeah.
I never.
This picture says it all.
Yeah. I never wish Tom well for fucking anything. Just
and we're so happy.
We are actually. Yeah. We're pretty good.
Yeah. No, right.
It's the truth. Because
that is true.
It's not a public fucking relationship.
No, it's no one's business.
Yeah.
By the way, no one's business. So I always actually am intrigued when people, even I've heard like you don't post a lot about your husband, and I'm like. Yeah. Well, because it's not. Does it say Sierra Swan and husband on there? Like, I'm not quite sure. Of course not.
Get fucked twice. Or even when people use their kids' faces on their profile. I don't put my kids on the Instagram on socials because God knows I don't want those images out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I feel like I could talk to you a million times. Come back to Austin. Will you do this again?
I will.
Will you meet me in a city? Pick a city.
Let's do it. Meet you in any city. I don't care. Whatever city.
I'll do Minneapolis. Have you ever been there?
I mean, I'm sure you've been there, but where's the club that actually?
Acme.
Okay.
It's so good. Okay.
I feel like the last time you were there, I wanted to go. I was out of town. No, but I was also out of town. I messaged you. I was like, fuck.
Oh, that's okay. I always do it every few years. All right. Check it out, you guys. Sierra Swan, her new EP, System Breaker, is on sale at madamzuzus.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in. Mm-hmm. Enjoy getting drunk and eating in your hotel room. You've earned it, bitch.
I think so, too. And I'm going to do exactly that.
That's what's up. All right, guys. Okay. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Yeah. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at. Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at?